Now, we're going to do something a little bit different now, and I'm going to interview James Clark. And James is vicar at All Saints Linfield, again, probably somebody that many of us will know. And I'm interviewing James about the prayer life of the minister. James would, like Mark, also say that he is certainly no expert in prayer, I'm sure, but we're really looking forward to just what you've got to share with us, James. So if you'd like to come up. And James has just been on holiday for the last 2 weeks, so we chatted briefly before you went, so you've been thinking hard about these questions all through your holiday, I'm sure. Just a few things that I wanted to ask you. How long have you been in ministry, for a start?
Oh, gosh. 1984 I was ordained in the church in Wales. I served 7 years in Wales. Then I went to Plymouth in Devon, where I was a chaplain to students at the College of St. Mark and St. John. And then I moved to Linfield. So I've been in Linfield for just over 20 years.
Okay, well, and in ministry altogether, over 30?
Yes, 30-something. Not good at maths.
So over your years in ministry, James, how crucial and important has your own walk with God become to you? Just picking up with what Mark was saying about our own intimacy with God. Mm. So how, over your time in ministry, how crucial and how treasured has your own walk become and why?
Well, increasingly over the years, I mean, what Mark said this morning resonated so much with me, and I think with lots of other people as well. And this whole thing about intimacy with God, that's not a phrase that I use very much, but being secure in the knowledge that we are, or I am, the child of our Heavenly Father is extraordinary. It's overwhelming. And as I've gone on in ministry, inhabiting that idea, the idea that God has called me from before the foundation of the world to be a child of his, is just extraordinary. Why he should pick me is a secret known only to God, and I can't understand it. But actually going along with that idea and realizing the depth of that and the different aspects of it and the angles of it have been just inspiring me increasingly over the years. You asked about how important has it been in the course of ministry. It's fundamental. When I started out in ministry over 30 years ago, I thought I was probably God's gift to, ministry, and I expected the first church I went to, everybody to fall down and be converted. And, I think lots of people coming out of college feel that. And actually, the reality is different. And the reality seems to me that what really hit me was that my personal relationship with God is more important than my calling to be a minister. Because in the end, when I draw my final breath, it will be me and the Lord, really, that I will be thinking about, and that kind of relation, the relationship I have there. And that informs everything else. I think it's important that all ministers pay attention so much to their own walk with the Lord, and increasingly to develop in that and to grow in that. And I think it's good for congregations, for church fellowships, to see that happen. There's nothing, I think, more encouraging than for church fellowships to see their minister growing. Some people have this idea that the minister's at the top and is handing down all the good stuff and so on, and praying for them and so on. But actually, I think that people are sometimes intimidated by that. They feel that, oh, I couldn't possibly attain to that. But actually, the reality is, I think people are encouraged by the fact that they see the minister wrestling with issues that they have as well, and growing and maturing, and having to be repentant and having to be restored and to set on course again. So increasingly, my ministry has sort of concentrated on my own walk with the Lord. Because if I am not walking with the Lord, I've got nothing else to say to anybody else. I need to be hearing from him and growing in him. And I know that at times when I haven't been, I know there are times of stagnation. I know, well, we all have times of stagnation. I know to recognize the signs, and I know what to do about it.
So can you recognize a sort of fallout in your own life when your walk is not close?
Yes, I can. And it's usually to do with activism. I think most of us are probably activists, aren't we, in our ministry? We aspire to be alpha males, leaders, and, you know, seeing churches grow and people converted. We want to do things. But activism is a great enemy, I think. I brought this book with me because there's a sentence in this book by Michael Green which really pulled me up short about 25, 30 years ago when I read it. It's only on page 44, and I didn't get any further reading the book at the time. And it's called Evangelism Now and Then. I'm sure many of you have read it. But this was the sentence that really pulled me up short, and I was reading it one day. If we do things for God without praying, He cannot afford the risk of allowing us to succeed. For we would get proud, and we would be hardened in our conviction that activism, not dependence on God, is the way for Christians to serve their Lord. And I believe there is no single lesson we need to learn more earnestly in the whole work of evangelism than prayer. And that just stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, we all find prayer hard. We all find it difficult. We all believe in it. And yet the difference between, you know, our belief and our functioning is mismatched. But when I read that, it really changed my ministry, and I felt that I need to develop much more in that intimacy with God through prayer. And I think actually that it is through the prayer that the Holy Spirit embeds the words of Scripture and changes us. I've started recently. In my personal quiet times, reading Hebrews. We're preaching on Hebrews at the moment, but I'm reading it anyway. And using Calvin's commentary on Hebrews. Calvin is wonderful, by the way. The commentaries are wonderful. Once you get through that, you've got to decipher the language a bit, but there are such wonderful nuggets there that, well, not nuggets there, it's pure gold, really. But it's in the praying that actually these things are embedded in me. And I don't say that they, you know, automatically happens immediately, but it opens my eyes to the way in which the Holy Spirit wants me to grow and develop and draw closer to the Lord.
So, James, how do we guard against our prayer life somehow becoming professionalized? Because there's a lot of, you know, crossover. Is that important, do you think? I think from what you said, it is very important. But how do we do that? Any sort of practical advice to give in terms of how we stop, how we make sure that we personally are seeking God's face before we seek his hand, as it were?
There has to be an element of regularity and discipline in this. Discipline is not a word that I like very much because it's not a thing that I find very easy. But actually carving out that time to be with the Lord and not just, an odd moment here or there, but prime time, so to speak, to be with the Lord. And that's, I think, is... that's the first step in it. I see a lot of my congregation who are, you know, they're up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get on commuter trains and they're back late at night. And I sympathize with them. And they look to me, they think how wonderful it is for me to be able to have all this time to pray and to prepare. And it is a great privilege. But it also is a great responsibility as well. And we do need to, you know, they're looking to be fed. And we can't feed unless we are being fed ourselves by the Lord. So there is that element of discipline. I think you have to know yourself as well. I'm an owl rather than a lark. Mornings are difficult for me. You're just about got me here now, and I'm able to put two words together. But I don't find mornings easy. And for years, when I was first converted, 39 years ago, something like that, I used to meet with a fellow Christian at 6 o'clock in the morning to study the Bible and to pray together. It was very hard work, and I found it very difficult indeed. And it took a long time for me to learn how I work I function as a person, and I need to have a slow start. So actually, I carve out my time for prayer, usually sometime in the morning, later in the morning. So and actually to have a good chunk of time, an hour is a good chunk of time for, you know, personal devotions and prayer, and that's really important. So carving out that time. I know in ministry there are things come in, funerals come in, meetings come in. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be, you know, carve out that time. And you've got to say no to people as well sometimes. And that's very hard for us, isn't it, to do that, because we feel that we want to. But we have to exercise a degree of discernment in how we use our time and where we spend it. But prayer time is not the back end of things, it's the front end. And that's where we've got to be. What was your question? I can't remember.
That's great. Yeah. Interesting what you say about, you know, being sustained by God. I mean, I remember when I was a curate, I did a couple of curacies. And in one of my curacies, the vicar there had a very tough time with something. And wasn't always an easy relationship that we had together, but I remember asking him what had sort of sustained him through that period, and he said really it was just knowing that God loved him. And I remember thinking at the time, I would have been sort of mid-30s, I remember thinking, oh well, that's all jolly good, but surely there's more than that. But actually now, for me, in ministry, late 40s, I know exactly what he means. In fact, I wrote a letter and told him that. So it's interesting, over time, our real understanding, perhaps, of God's need to sustain us and keep us just grows, doesn't it, I guess?
Absolutely, and I think that as I get towards the latter years of my ministry, that becomes more important for me, more important, my walk with God, my prayer life. I have to say that in these last few years, I have felt I've felt myself growing, if you know what I mean. There are times when we go through life when we feel as if we're on a plateau or we're stagnating. And there are times then when you feel that you're growing. And one of the most important times for me of growth was actually down in Plymouth. I was a chaplain to students for about 5 years. And that was a very growing time for me. I could almost feel myself growing spiritually in different ways. And it was through growing closer to God, through intimacy, through prayer, through the... I had the time to do it, and actually more time then than I have now in ministry. But it was a great time for me. And that's a joyous thing. When you're growing, when the Lord is speaking and when he's... you know, shaping you, that's a wonderful, encouraging, exciting thing to do, to be.
You talked about activism as being one of the things that can really sort of crowd in on our prayer life. Are there other pressures we face that you can think of that really threaten to squeeze out our own personal prayer life and time with God?
I think activism is the most important, from my point of view, that it is... it is always one feeling that you need to be doing something rather than just being with the Lord, and that's the most important thing. Is there something behind your question that I'm not getting?
No. I think that's it. I was just wondering if there's any other things that you could think of. I mean, I think you've touched on everything, really. Is it activism? It's...
I think some of the things that Mark mentioned about, you know, some of the particular dangers that... Well, not the particular... The dangers that all people face of unconfessed sin, of temptation, and so on. We all know that, you know, our interior lives are guarded. We put on a face to the world, but we know what we're like. We know that we've got areas of our lives where we wouldn't want people to probe. And yet the thing is, God knows us. God sees through us. And actually most other people see through us as well. And that's why I think it's authenticity is important. That's why I think it's important for people to be honest, ruthlessly honest with oneself, because other people will see it anyway. And Mark mentioned about the, you know, people will see you if you're not being authentic. And I think that the key to it is the minister's spiritual life and life of prayer.
And in terms of dry times in your life, James, how have you got? Is the fact that you're in a discipline and you're, you know, regularly reading your Bible and praying, has that been one of the things that sort of sustained you through those times? And maybe it doesn't feel so great, but it's...
Well, usually the times of dryness have been when I've succumbed to the temptation to be doing things instead of rooting myself in the Word and in prayer. And it gets to the stage where you realise suddenly when you're preparing a sermon, I've got nothing to say. I'm dry. The solution for me is to get straight back into the Word and straight back into prayer. And usually to try and take some time a day maybe to immerse myself in that and to get back into the kind of the habit of doing things. I know some people take retreats and so on. I find shorter times, like days, rather than, you know, an inside of a week, is better for me. But the wonderful thing is, when there are periods of dryness, the moment that you realize it, and the moment that you turn back, and the moment that you get stuck into the Word, and the moment that you begin to pray, the Lord floods you with a sense of excitement again. I always find this, and this is such an encouragement. So when I know that I, when I realize, come to my senses, realize I'm, you know, I'm dry and a need in filling, the Lord almost rushes to sort of, you know, to meet me in that. And it's a time of great blessing. I remember some years ago, Mark Ashton, who's a vicar who's now in glory, but at a conference, he said that he felt a lot of the time, he's a vicar of a big church in Cambridge, he felt a lot of the time that he was had his head above the water, but that every so often it would bob down under the waves and then bob up again. And he then said he felt that was the safest place for him to be, because he knew that he had to depend on God. And I think this goes back to what Michael Green said about activism. You know, we would get proud and, you know, hard in our idea that doing things is the way to, you know, rather than depending on the Lord for what he wants.
Brilliant. Thank you, James. Thanks very much. We could go on and on, but probably time means we should stop there. Let me just say a prayer for you in your ministry. Lord, we thank you for all that James has shared with us, and we pray that you would continue, Lord, to bless him in his ministry in Linfield, watch over him and keep him, and may he continue, Lord, as indeed all of us would, to find great joy and delight in those times with you, those life-sustaining times with you. And so I do pray for James, Lord, that you'd strengthen him, and pray indeed that you'd strengthen all of us. Amen. Amen.